Yesterday, I spent some time talking with Lisa Morales, our traffic reporter, on one of the most personal things she could have come on to talk about, and it was her miscarriage. She has no children. It was to be their first child, and we talked extensively about the various aspects of going through that process, not the least of which was that, as common as it is, it feels isolating. The support groups were not as helpful to her as she had hoped they would be. So following up today with a professional in the area, registered psychologist Dr. Oren Amate, DocAmate.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Let's start with, actually, I paraphrased it, but here's something that Lisa said to us yesterday.
It is tremendously common, and that is one of the first things that people will say to you when you've suffered a loss. Because let's be honest, it is such an awkward, it's an awkward situation. It's so easy to say to somebody, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant, versus, hey, guess what? I lost my baby. You know, it almost seems so taboo to go through this situation because it doesn't seem normal. And although it is, and that's the first thing people will say to you, oh my gosh, I know so many people that have gone through this. I know this person and this, or I did, or, you know, and it almost seems like it's a relief by saying that it is a common thing. But it's as common as it is one of the most isolating things a woman can go through.
We talk a lot, Dr. Amate, about trying to talk about mental illness, the Bell Let's Talk Day. You and I have had many conversations about that. This seems to be another area of life where sometimes people feel like they're suffering alone.
Yes, and, you know, it's for almost any mental health issue that no matter what people say, even if you logically understand that this is a common phenomenon, it is isolating, and, like, it's the same as saying we all will lose our parents at some point. And so it's very common. It's one of the most common experiences, yet logically is very different from emotionally and psychologically. And as Lisa said, it is very isolating because it feels like, how can you know what I went through? And let's, as she's saying, it's a loss. It's perhaps the most profound loss. It's a part of you. You are carrying it. And there are many different ways to grieve. There's no one right way, but I always say that there are many wrong ways to try to help somebody grieve. And the worst way is to try to impose what you think they need to hear or do. And you don't know if that's right. So many people have the right intention. They say, hey, this happened to me, or I know somebody who went through this. It's common. And sadly, it's not really reassuring to the person who's going through it.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, actually, when Lisa first told me that, when she had first told me about this some time ago, before our conversation on the air, and she said people will immediately say, oh, that happened to me, or that happened to my sister. And Lisa said, well, this is not really what I'm not trying to talk about you right now. And is that a normal response for someone in Lisa's position?
It is. And, you know, the person who's talking about their own experience or someone they know, they're trying to connect with them. They're trying to show empathy. And so there's nothing wrong in theory with doing it, but it's taking away almost from the person who's going through that. And again, imagine if you say, you know, I just lost my mother or father, and someone goes, oh, yeah, my mother died yesterday. It's like it's taking away that moment from the person. And all they want is your support. And again, although you think you're giving them support, and it may be in some cases that people, you know, need to hear it. But in many cases, it just feels like you're somehow diminishing my experience. You're taking away from it.
Well, what are you supposed to say?
That's the hardest thing. Sometimes you don't need words. Sometimes a hug. Sometimes I'm really sorry. Anytime, what I always tell people is, what can I do for you? And most times the answer is nothing. But just knowing that the person is there and wants to give up their time, whatever you need, I'm here for you. And then the person who says that has to understand that, you know what, you might think it's the right thing to say, and sadly, the person to whom you're saying it, I hope they'll receive it the right way, but they don't always. And it's like, in the worst case scenario, they'll express what they're thinking, which is, well, what can you do for me? There's really nothing. And it's just having empathy and recognizing the person is going through a traumatic experience. It's a huge loss.
One of the other things surprised me a little bit. I asked Lisa if she had gone to a support group for people who've lost a baby, had a miscarriage, and she said yes twice. And then this is the part that surprised me, that she said it wasn't really helpful to her. And in fact, in some cases, because she lost her baby so early in the process, and some of them lost the baby just as they thought they were going to have the baby, that she felt like their problems were worse than hers. Is it that not maybe that the groups don't work, they just don't work for everybody?
Yeah, and I've run a lot of groups, and for many people, they come to accept it. They come to realize that a shared experience, even if it's different in many ways, just the pain, the loss, the support, that can be very helpful. But for others, it's ironic where it feels even more alienating or isolating for a variety of reasons. And she just mentioned one specific one, and I see that with a lot of groups where someone says, especially when it comes to addictions, they say, "My life wasn't so bad. I wasn't abused." Whatever, I'm hearing all these other people's stories, and I feel terrible for them, and now I feel worse for myself because, I shouldn't even be here. They've got it much worse. So unfortunately, people can hurt themselves even further psychologically in these situations, and they're not thinking as clearly as we would hope. And I hope that Lisa or anyone else will give it another shot. Many times people feel, look, I just want to be there for support, and I feel that I'm giving my support to 20 other people. And sorry, but I just don't feel connected to them. I don't know them. Why am I here? And those are natural responses as well.
Another thing I got from the conversation with Lisa was fear or concern, trepidation about trying again. I'm imagining that's common.
It's the most common thing I deal with when I work with people who have had a miscarriage. And, sadly, when you go through something as terrible as this, there's a tendency for couples to want to almost blame the other person. It's not a logical or rational response, especially since we know that most miscarriages happen for reasons that have nothing to do with what the person has done in their life. But people are lashing out. They're trying to understand things. And so we feel, we almost blame the other person. So that's one part of it. The other part is, once you've had a traumatic incident like this, as you're going back to the same context, and it's terrifying to think, I've got to go through this potentially again. I don't want to lose a child again. And the fear, the trepidation, and then even just trying to be intimate with your partner, whether you're the male or the female, it's very difficult because how do you have that discussion? Either are you ready yet or I am ready, and is this going to be for intimacy? Is this going to be to procreate? Are we going to take another chance? These are the most uncomfortable discussions you can have. And so, yes, it's very, very common with people who go unfortunately experience these miscarriages.
Would you encourage people to try again?
Oh, for sure, because statistically speaking, this is what most people say. I know someone who went through this, and on the second try or the third try, they were okay. So, I think that people should try, but only when they are ready. And for some people, it's the very next month or a couple of months later. For others, it could take over a year. And don't push it. And you have to have these conversations. And you're in a relationship, you can never assume you know what your partner is going through. You have to check in with them. And people's perceptions about this experience can change moment to moment.
Dr. Orrin Amitai, docamitai.com. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jerry.